Bible says the love of Christ constraineth us. He deserves every part of my being because of what He's done for me. Exodus chapter 2. Hope you've got your place. You should. We've had plenty of time to get there. If you're physically able, if you'll stand with me for the reading of God's Word this morning, Exodus chapter number 2. I'm going to tell you what, if you can't get excited over that, I tell you, we get excited at ball games, my goodness, and I do. I get excited about ball games. Well, not recently, but I get excited about ball games. I'll tell you what, if you can't get excited about the blood of Christ and what He's done for us and what He can do for someone else, by the way, you know what people need right now? They need the blood of Christ. They need salvation. People that are fearful, people that are looking for something. You know what they're looking for? They're looking to fill that void that's in their life. And that void needs to be filled by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that and we have the answer. It's still the blood. It's still the cross. Exodus chapter number 2. Bible says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink." Let me stop for just a moment. Let the children be dismissed. We'll let the children be dismissed to junior church this morning. Verse number 4, the Bible says, "And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" I want to bring you a message this morning entitled, "Unknown, but not unimportant." Unknown, but not unimportant. Father, please help, please bless, please teach us today. I pray that You would encourage the hearts of our mothers this morning. I pray that You would encourage the hearts of our mothers and fathers and grandfathers and grandmothers, every individual who has any influence, who holds influence in a child's life. Father, may You encourage our hearts this morning. Father, teach us as only You can. Father, if there would be one here today in this auditorium, if there would be one watching by way of live stream this morning that does not know Christ, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for the sinner, for the lost person. I pray that Your people, believers this morning, whether here or watching somewhere else, Father, I pray that You would stir their hearts, that You would encourage them, that You would help them. Father, I have no doubt there are hurting hearts in here this morning for various reasons. And Father, I pray that You would heal and put that balm of Gilead on their hearts this morning. And Father, I pray that You would do a work that only You can do. May Your Holy Spirit have freedom to move in our midst today and to work and to draw and to convict, to encourage, whatever the need would be. Father, may You meet it today, and we'll thank You and praise You for it. We'll give You glory right now for what You're going to do in these next few moments. And we pray all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. We have most likely heard the phrase, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." The phrase simply means that the person who raises a child from the cradle is the individual who exerts the most influence upon that child and will be the person who will mold the character of the next generation. In some societies, the one with the most influence is the state. However, in many societies, that person is known as mother. There are many activities in which mothers engage on behalf of their children. They bear they bear the pains of pregnancy and childbirth. They endure many sleepless nights in order to rock a troubled child. They engage in an endless cycle of scrubbing, spraying, cleaning, washing, drying. They chauffeur. They heal bumps and bruises. They always eat last and are content to take what little may be left. Isn't that true? They administer discipline. On many occasions, they must set the atmosphere of the home, both spiritually and emotionally. They pray over their children's cribs, and they pray at the door of their teenagers' bedrooms. They read the Bible to their children, and the list of activities could absolutely go on unending. And most mothers perform all of these activities with little concern for recognition or applause. And that was the character of the mother on whom we will spend our time this morning. Her impact is absolutely immeasurable. However, her name is mentioned only twice in the totality of the Scriptures. That is the mother of Moses. She is without a doubt one of my most favorite female characters in all the Scriptures. And her name is Jochebed. Her name is Jochebed. Her name means Jehovah is my glory. She was a mother who was very little known. By the way, the passage where the man Moses is going to be born, where the story begins, when Moses is going to be born, when he's going to be placed in that little ark and be placed in the river there, the very place where that story begins, her name isn't even mentioned. She was a mother who was unknown, but by no means unimportant. Mothers, you may labor in perceived obscurity. However, your influence and your impact and your importance will endure for generations. And I want to look this morning at three traits that we find of this lady's life that characterized Jochebed's life. And I pray and I hope that that will prove to us this morning, whether to a mother, whether to a father, whether to a grandfather, whether to a grandmother, that our lives may be unknown, that few people may know who our names are, but by no means are our lives unimportant. And I hope we'll see that this morning. I hope the Word and the Lord will teach us that this morning. Let me give you the first characteristic. And I believe it's the overriding characteristic of this lady, Jochebed. And I want us to see, first of all, this morning, if you're taking notes, or even if you're not, if you're taking mental notes, I want us to see that her faith was greater than her fear. Her faith was greater than her fear. What was the overriding characteristic, the overriding trait in Jochebed's life that really manifested itself throughout her entire life? What was that? It was her faith. Would you hold your place here in Exodus chapter 2? We'll come back in just a moment. Would you take your Bibles and go to the book of Hebrews? Hebrews chapter number 11, toward the end of the New Testament. Hebrews chapter number 11. Her faith was greater than her fear. And by the way, in the day and time in which we live, that must be true in our lives today too. Our faith must be greater than our fear. And it was absolutely true in the life of this lady, Jochebed. Hebrews chapter number 11, we'll read verse number 23. The verse begins speaking about Moses. It says, by faith, Moses. But it's not talking about Moses' faith right here in verse 23. They'll talk about, or the Word will talk about his faith in verses 24 through 29. But in verse 23, it's talking about the faith of his parents. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Again, listed in Hebrews chapter number 11. We have Joseph, we have Abraham, we have Abel, we have Sarah, we have name after name after name mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, the great hall of faith, if you will. And here again, no names. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his, what's the word? Parents. Doesn't even mention their names. We know their names to be Amram and Jochebed. But it just mentions parents. Because they saw he was a proper child. We read in Exodus 2, the Bible says that he was a goodly child, that he was a proper child. What that means is that he was a beautiful child. What that means is that Amram and Jochebed saw something different in that child. And by the way, I believe in all my heart, based upon the Scripture, I believe they knew who Moses was. I believe they knew what Moses was going to do one day. I believe that they knew that Moses was the deliverer that God had promised to the nation of Israel. I believe that with all my heart. I believe the Scriptures bear that out, that they knew that. And the Bible says, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. What was the king's commandment? Go back to Exodus chapter 2 and then back up, if you would, into chapter number 1. And we'll begin reading in verse number 7. Her faith was greater than her fear. Verse number 7, the Bible says, Exodus chapter 1, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Remember, in the book of Genesis, Joseph is taken captive down into Egypt. He's sold into Egypt. God makes of him, God multiplies and increases him there. He has his family come down into Egypt. His father Jacob, his brothers and their families, they come. 70 individuals, if you will, they come into Egypt, and before you know it, they are multiplying and multiplying and increasing because God is increasing them to the point that the Pharaoh gets scared. There's too many of these Hebrew children. There's too many of these Hebrew people. Verse number 8, now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. That's the hand of God. That's the supernatural hand of God. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All the service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives, and said unto them, why have ye done this thing, and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. It came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged, verse 22, Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. And so we see here this morning that her faith was greater than her fear. Remember what we read in Hebrews 11, 23. The Bible says she did not fear the commandment of the king. And so first of all this morning, as we think about her faith was greater than her fear, her faith was greater, first of all, than a decree from a dictator. It was greater than a decree from a dictator. The Bible says in Acts 5, 29, then Peter and the apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And I want to just stop right here for a side note. This isn't necessarily the message this morning, but I've heard a lot of pastors over the past month or so. I've heard a lot of individuals when all of these mandates have come down. And by the way, I'm not saying anybody's a dictator. I'm not saying our governor's a dictator. I'm not saying our president's a dictator. That's not what I'm saying this morning. But I've heard a lot of pastors say, well, we've had this order and we're supposed to stay home. And you know, Romans 13 says that we're to obey the authorities. And never once have I heard somebody quote Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. Because the Bible says that we ought to obey God rather than men. When man's orders and man's decrees go against the Word of God, we ought to obey God rather than men. Absolutely, we ought to obey authority. Absolutely, we ought to be under authority. Romans 13 tells us that. But the Bible also says when that authority, when that man-made authority begins to subvert the authority of God, we are supposed to listen to the authority of God. And if there comes a day when the authorities begin to say you can't do this and you can't do this and it goes against God's Word. By the way, the mandate for churches not to meet goes against God's Word. God's Word says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It goes directly against God's Word. And what we ought to do and what we have done over the past month and a half in a very careful way, in a very cautious way, we haven't been obnoxious about it. We haven't been uncareful about it, but we've been meeting. And by the way, if you haven't been here because you have felt concerned about it, that's fine. All I'm saying this morning is we have the right and we should do what God's Word says. We ought not bow to the whims of an order that goes against the Word of God. And that's exactly what Jochebed did. She said, the order from Pharaoh says that I should kill my son or that my son should be killed. That goes against God and I'm not going to do it. So we see, first of all, this morning, her faith was greater than her fear, greater than a decree from a dictator. Her faith was greater than a decree from a dictator. We say, Pastor, what happens if preachers start going to jail because they disobey an order from a governor? Then they ought to go to jail. See, we live in such a soft time now, we forget what the Apostle Paul went through. Apostle Paul went to jail time after time after time after time. Why? For simply preaching the gospel. For simply preaching the gospel. And we ought to obey God rather than men. Her faith was greater than her fear. You say, Pastor, are you not afraid to go to jail? Look, I wouldn't want to go to jail. I wouldn't want to leave my family. I wouldn't want to leave a wife back weeping and sobbing because her husband's in jail. But I'd rather my faith be greater than my fear. Her faith was greater than her fear, greater than a decree from a dictator. Number two, greater than her boy in a basket. Look at chapter 2 if you would. The Bible says in verse number 3, and when she could not longer hide him, 3 months they hid him. By the way, supernaturally I believe, because don't you imagine in 3 months that baby cried? Yeah. Every night, every hour, on the hour, nobody heard. The Bible said they hid him 3 months, and when they could no longer hide him, the Bible says, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch within and without and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Her faith was greater than her fear, greater than a decree from a dictator, greater than her boy in a basket. Do you think that maybe, just maybe, this family of Levi, Amram and Jochebed, both coming from the family of Levi, you think maybe they had heard the story of Noah? How does God save a person condemned to death by water, by a flood that's coming, by being thrown into the Nile River where the crocodiles are chomping and just waiting to have babies for supper? How does God save someone like that? Well, maybe we'll build an ark. Maybe we'll put that baby in an ark. And I have faith that God will save him. But can you imagine the trepidation when Jochebed took that ark and she put it in the water, the Bible says, at the river's brink, in the flags? When she closed the top of that little ark and knowing that the water couldn't get in, but closing the top of it, either the crocodiles are going to get him or he's going to suffocate in that little ark. Don't you imagine there was a little trepidation, there was a little fear? But her faith was greater than her fear. She said, okay, we've hid him 3 months. This is a goodly child. This is a proper child. I believe in my heart that he's the deliverer that God promised. He's a goodly child. God's going to protect him. God's going to watch over him. Greater than her boy in a basket. Let me say this morning, mothers. There comes a time in everyone's life, in every father and every mother's life, when you have to let go of the basket. When you have to say, God, he or she is yours to do whatever you want to do with. Now, I'm going to tell you what, as a daddy, that's hard. As a mother, may even be harder. But every single one of us, and I would say it's better to be done at an early age than later, but when we just simply say, Lord, here's my basket, it's yours. Whatever you want to do with my children, they're yours. Her faith was greater than her fear, greater than a decree from a dictator, greater than her boy in a basket, thirdly, because she knew that God's plan is always perfect. Romans 12 and verse number 2, the Bible says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amram and Jochebed knew that there was something different about this boy. We've already mentioned that. He was goodly. Exodus 2 says he was proper. Hebrews 11, 23 says, and God's plan to send a man to deliver Israel was His perfect will. That was His perfect plan. And so her faith was greater than her fear. Why? Or how? It was greater than a decree from a dictator. Hey, throw all of those babies in the Nile River. It was greater than her boy in a basket. Because she knew and he knew that God's plan is always perfect. Can I tell you what this morning? Our faith can always be greater than our fear because we know that His will is always perfect if we're striving and seeking to be in the center of His will. His will is always perfect. God calls your child to do something. Maybe He calls your child to go halfway around the world or all the way around the world. Listen, His will is perfect. Let go of the basket, Mama. Let God have them, Mama. They don't have to live right beside you all of their lives. Nothing wrong if God plans it that way. But if they don't, then let God have the basket and have faith. And let your faith be greater than your fear. Number one, her faith was greater than her fear. Number two, her truth was greater than Egypt's treasures. Would you take your Bible and go back to Hebrews 11? And by the way, I say her truth, but it's God's truth. Number one, her faith was greater than her fear. Unknown, but absolutely not unimportant. Her faith was greater than her fear. That's what she's known for. She's mentioned. She's in the hall of faith, if you will, in Hebrews chapter number 11. Her and her husband as well. Her faith was greater than her fear. But number two, her truth was greater than Egypt's treasures. Now, by the way, let me say this. They didn't have much of the Scriptures yet, did they? Why didn't they have much of the Scriptures yet? Yes. Man, right answer right off the bat. Because their son hadn't written it yet. You know who wrote the first five books of the Bible? Moses! Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Moses wrote it. Their son hadn't written it yet. They didn't have much Scripture. I believe they probably had most of the stories from Genesis. I believe they knew about Joseph. I believe they knew about Abraham. I believe they knew about Noah. That's why I believe they built an ark. This little, not the big ark that Noah built, but an ark to put the baby in. I believe they knew those stories, but they didn't have much Scripture yet. They didn't have 66 books like we have today. But what she had, she disseminated it to Moses. She transferred it to Moses. She taught Moses. Let me again, you're in Hebrews 11, stay there. I'll be right back there in just a moment. But remember, in Exodus chapter 2, she puts that baby in the river's brink there in verse number 3. Miriam stands afar off to see what's going to happen to that baby. And the Bible says that the daughter of Pharaoh comes in verse number 6, and when she had opened it, she saw the child. Now let me ask you, what should have been the natural response of an Egyptian daughter, or the Pharaoh's daughter, an Egyptian, when she opened that basket and saw a Hebrew baby? Throw it in the river. Take that thing out of that ark and pitch it to the crocodiles. That would have been the natural response. But do you see God's supernatural working? And behold, the babe wept. I believe right on time, Moses cried. Maybe right on time, the Holy Spirit reached down and pinched that soft flesh on the inside of his leg, and he cried. And that weeping caused Pharaoh's daughter to have compassion on him. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister, remember Miriam, she's been standing back a little ways watching to see what's going to happen. And she comes up to Pharaoh's daughter. Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. The Bible tells us that Jochebed has time to nurse and to train. We don't know what age he actually went to the palace for good and she never was able to see him again. But we know that she had time to train. She had time to nurse. She had time to nurture. And notice what the result was. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 24. The truth was greater than Egypt's treasures. Mamas, this morning, the truth of God's Word placed in the hearts of your children is greater than any treasure that you could ever give them. It's greater than any gift, greater than any graduation gift, greater than any Christmas gift, greater than any birthday gift, greater than any wedding gift. The Word of God being placed into the hearts of your children. Truth. Truth. We're not hearing a whole lot of truth today, are we? I don't believe we are. Truth placed in the heart of your child, your children, will take them further than any treasures that you can place in their bank account. Amen. By the way, I'm not against that. I'm not against you doing that. But the Word of God is going to take them further than $1,000 in their bank account or $10,000, whatever. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 24. Verse 23, by faith Moses. It's talking about the faith of Amram and Jochebed. But in verse 24 now, we get to the result of Amram and Jochebed's faith. What was the result of that? Moses' faith. And the Bible says, by faith Moses, verse number 24, when he was come to years, when he was old enough to make his own decisions, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ. Had Christ come yet? Had he come yet in Exodus 2? Or a little bit later in Exodus 3 when Moses comes to years? No. But he knew who Christ was. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. The Egyptians tried to do the very same thing, but they drowned. God let the water come back. Her truth, her faith was greater than her fear. Her truth was greater than Egypt's treasures. Two things about Moses. He refused and he respected. He refused the earthly. He respected the eternal. He refused Egypt's position. He was the Pharaoh's son. The grandson, or excuse me, he was Pharaoh's daughter's son. He was the grandson of Pharaoh. Grew up in the palace. He refused the position. He refused the pleasures. He refused the prosperity. It says in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Just as we said just a moment ago, the men saying, we owe everything to Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, the love of Christ constraineth us. Because of what Christ has done for us, we ought to be willing to do anything and everything for Christ. We ought to be willing to take and bear and suffer reproach for His name, if that's what it would take. As opposed to worrying about the riches of this world. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Her truth was greater than Egypt's treasures. And what little bit of truth she was able to teach him, what little bit she was able to teach him about their God, caused Moses later on down the line, when he came to years, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, he made a decision. I'm not going to relate. I'm not going to be counted with the Egyptians or as an Egyptian. I'm a Hebrew. My God is the God of heaven. My God is not Ra. My God is not the sun god. My God is not the bull god. My God is not the flies. By the way, all of the plagues that came into Egypt, God brought them against one of the gods of Egypt. He said, those aren't my gods. My God is in heaven. Her truth was greater than Egypt's treasures. He refused the earthly, and he respected the eternal. Again, in verse number 6, it says, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He knew, yes, I may suffer reproach here, but I'm going to have a reward there. There's another country, there's another city I'm looking for, and it's not here. It's not on this earth. It's not treasures. Look, I could live here in the palace and I could live at ease. I could have all the pleasures of Egypt. I could have all of the pleasures I could have all the possessions. I could have all of the position that anyone could ever want. But I don't want that. And it was the truth that he had learned that in his heart was greater than the treasures of Egypt. Look, I don't know what I don't know what God has for my three kids. If God makes them wealthy, I'm fine with that. But I will say this, I don't care if they become wealthy as long as they serve God. I don't care if they become a millionaire as long as they serve God. If God calls them to do so, if God calls one of them to be a doctor, calls one of them to be successful in business or whatever He may call them to, I'm good with that, but if they're never if their name is never known, I don't care as long as they serve God. So many parents, they want their kid to become famous and want to be the greatest athlete or the greatest this or the greatest that. Fine and good, but how about we pray and strive and ask God to make them the best Christian? To make them a great Christian. Somebody that's going to serve Him all the days of their lives. Her faith was greater than her fear. Her truth was greater than Egypt's treasures. And number 3, her heritage was greater than her heartache. Her heritage was greater than her heartache. When she put that, and again, and it all goes back to the first two. It all goes back to number 1, because her faith was greater than her fear. Her heritage turned out to be greater than any heartache that she had when she knelt down and she put that little ark in the river's brink, not knowing exactly what was going to happen, other than that God was going to take care of it. I don't know what's going to happen to him, but I know this, I trust God, and I know God's going to take care of him. She had no idea what the future held. Her heritage was greater than her heartache. Think about it. As Brother Steve said, pen the first 5 books of the Bible. Delivered his nation, his people, from bondage. Her other son, Aaron, first high priest. We forget about them sometimes. Miriam, in Exodus chapter 15, she's the one that after they come through the Red Sea, she's taking her timbrel, if you will, and she's praising God and she's singing and she's calling everyone else to praise God. That was Jochebed's heritage. Unknown, but absolutely not unimportant. Mothers, you may labor in obscurity. You may labor and nobody knows your name except the few people in your little circle. You know what? That's okay. You may be unknown, but you're absolutely not unimportant. In your very house, in your very home, you may be raising another Moses. In your home, you may be raising another Paul. In your home, you may be raising another preacher like John the Baptist. In your home, you may be raising another Elijah. In your home, you may be raising, we could go on and on and on with name after name after name. In your home, mamas, in your home, you may be raising a Mary who kept herself pure so that the angel could come and say, you're going to be the one. You're going to be the one that's going to be the mother of the Savior of all the world. Mothers, in your home, you might be raising an Elizabeth. In your home, you might be raising a Ruth. In your home, you might be rearing an Esther. In your home, you might be rearing a Rebecca. You don't know. Unknown, but not unimportant. Ladies, do you ever feel that way sometimes? Man, I just go through the day, routine, routine, routine. Now I've got all these kids under my feet every day, all day, all day, all day, every day, all week. Can't they go somewhere? Can't somebody come and take them? No. Praise God. Hey, I hope no parents have regretted the amount of time that they've had with their children over the past month and a half. God has given us a great opportunity there. Now, our kids are with us all the time. I told our kids, Josh and Paige, maybe the only two kids in Haywood County that finished school this year, but they're going to finish. They have 3 weeks left. Pray for them. Because they're ready to be done right now. Don't be angry at that. Now, you might be angry at the situation and some of the foolishness that's going on, but don't be angry ever about any time that you have with your children. Use it. Make it a priority. Take advantage of it. Because your faith, if it's greater than your fear, your kids will see it. If your truth is greater than any treasures that you have, your kids are going to see it. They're going to hear it. It's going to be transferred to them. Why? Because, friend, you want your heritage to continue and continue. Thousands of years later, we're still talking about Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Mom and Dad, they're just called the parents. Only mentioned a couple times in the Bible. But we know who Moses is. And we know who Aaron is. And we know who Miriam is. Her heritage was greater than her heartache. Ladies, I simply came this morning to encourage your heart. You may be unknown, but you're absolutely not unimportant. Hey, men, I know it's not your day today, but men, fathers, husbands, you may not be known, you may be unknown, but you're absolutely not unimportant. Well, man, I just wish I had more fame. I wish more people knew me. Make sure your kids know you. Make sure your wife knows you. That's what God has given you right now. Make sure your coworkers know who you are. Make sure your circle of influence know who you are. Unknown, but not unimportant. Father, thank you for the time you've given us this morning. Father, thank you for our mothers. Father, most of the time, all of us, but most of the time, our mothers labor in obscurity and anonymity. Very few people may know their names outside of their home. But Father, oh, how we can impact this world with the children that we rear, with the testimonies that we live behind, by the faith that we live out on a daily basis. Father, I pray that you have already worked in hearts, and I pray that those hearts would move this morning. I pray that they would do business with you. Whatever the need is, may we bend the knee this morning and just get some things right with you, or just very simply bow and say, thank you, Lord, for the position you've given me. Help me not to squander the opportunity and the position that you've given me. Father, help us during this time of invitation. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Show is going to begin to play in just a moment, but let me say this. Invitation is for everybody, but I want to pin it down more specific. Friend, if you're here and you don't know Christ, if the blood of Christ has never washed away your sins, if you've never called upon the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul, I beg you to come this morning and simply just walk down that aisle, the middle aisle, these side aisles, and just take my hand and say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved today. I'm not sure that the blood of Christ has washed away my sins. If that's you, would you come this morning? Secondly, believer, moms, dads, whoever you might be this morning, you might say, you know, I've been worried too much about being known and being famous. I've been worried too much about my children being known and having a name and being popular and being famous. Lord, forgive me for that. Or you might just come and bow the knee and say, God, thank you that even though my name may not be known, I still have an important role to play. And God, please help me not to squander it. with heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Jo's going to play. Friend, if you need to come, if you need to bow right where you're at in your pew, on one of these front pews, on one of these steps at the platform, if you need to do business with the Lord, do business with the Lord. Hey, maybe the Lord would work in the heart of a teenager or a child. A teenager or a child who hasn't shown the respect and honor and admiration to their mom the way they should. Maybe you would bend the knee and say, Lord, forgive me. And as soon as I have opportunity this afternoon, I'm going to let my mom know how much I appreciate her. I'm going to let her know how much I love her, how ungrateful I have been, and that I've gotten that right with the Lord. Maybe, teenager, you just, if you're standing next to your mother, you just lean over and hug her and tell her how much you love her, how grateful you are for what she does. Unknown, but absolutely not unimportant. Her faith was greater than her fear. Her truth was greater than Egypt's treasures. And her heritage was greater than her heartache. Look this way, if you would, for just a moment. Thank you so much for your attendance today. Thank you for your attention. We count it an honor and a privilege for you to be here, especially those that are guests this morning. We're so glad that you came to worship with us today. Ladies, moms, we are so grateful for you. We thank God for you. I do pray that you'll stop and get a gift that we have for you from the church out in the lobby there. And then also, ladies, if you'll take your flowers this morning. And look forward to seeing you back tonight at 6 o'clock. I pray that you'll be back. Looking forward to hearing from God's Word once again tonight. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Brother Roman Tanitsa, pray for us, please, sir. Father, thank you for this.